Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I'm the Bill Arnold part of that sentence. If you missed last hour, Dr. Mark Muska is such a delight, and he is got a great mind. Boy, does he think biblically, and he can go just about answer any question that you have, and he did a fantastic job. I always learn so much when he comes in. If you missed any of that, I think you would like that. You just go to myfaithradio.com. Check it out. It was a great hour. I have Vince Miller in studio, and I'm excited to bring him on as well. I'm looking at a number of his books that he's published. One is called 30 Devos That Build a Stronger Man. One is called 30 Devos That Build a Bolder Man. And one is called 30 Devos That Build a Faithful Man. I'm looking forward to this hour, and I'm going to take a little break, and then when I come back, I'm going to have Vince start our time together off with a Devo. I think that'd probably be a good thing to do. You know, I love scripture on the show, and here is Melissa reading verse from Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4.
The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the words to sustain the weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear as one being taught. Isaiah 50, verse 4.
Faith Radio is celebrating 70 years of ministry. The writers and original cast of fan-favorite show Triple Espresso will entertain with a night of unique comedy, music, and ministry. See Michael Pierce Donley, Bob Stromberg, and Bill Arnold in this special celebratory show unlike any other. Join us one night only, 7 p.m. March 16th at the Knight Performance Hall on the campus of University of Northwestern in St. Paul, Minnesota. Tickets are going fast. On sale now at myfaithradio.com.
How you start each day often sets the tone for how your day will go. A healthy breakfast is a good start, but what really helps is God's Word. When you sign up for Faith Radio's Verse of the Day, you'll receive a daily Bible verse via email or text message. Just visit myfaithradio.com and click on Verse of the Day to register, or text the word VERSE to 555-888. Start every day with biblical encouragement through Faith Radio's Verse of the Day.
I am so glad you invited me into your day. Makes me very happy. If you're in your car or in your house, or maybe you're walking on the treadmill at the gym, awfully glad that you've opened the door and let me in, because we're going to have a great hour with Vince Miller. He was born in the Bay Area, grew up in a fatherless home, and yet he has an entire ministry dedicated to helping make men better. Isn't that interesting how God works? Doesn't God sometimes just have a big sense of humor where you go, huh? That doesn't seem to fit, but there again, he had a plan. Vince, welcome to the show.
Thanks, bud. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. And, you know, I never tire of hearing the impact that your grandfather had on your life.
It's
such a great, great story. Can you just remind our listeners what happened?
Yeah, so my grandfather took me in when I was a teen and, of course, invested his time and life in me. And, of course, I was raised by a father who was an atheist and a mom who was an agnostic. And they spent a lot of time convincing me that Christianity wasn't real, actually, and basically said that Christians are hypocrites and the church is full of broken people.
There you go.
Yeah, and it is. I came to find out they were right.
Yeah,
and yeah, there's a lot of truth there. But my grandfather showed me one minor but important difference, that Christianity in the church was built on the back of a man named Jesus who did what he said he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And once I transposed that idea and understood that really my faith wasn't based upon what Christians did or what the church looks like and who it's made up of, it's based upon Jesus Christ. It really, I took a turn in my faith and became a Christian because of that.
Yeah. And was your grandfather a role model in terms of how to build character into your life and how to, you know, be a gentleman and all that stuff?
Oh, all that great stuff.
Yeah, brag about him some more.
Yeah, grandparents are very important, by the way.
They're extremely important.
Extremely
important.
I know
a lot of them listen to this show.
Yeah, and they take for granted sometimes the impact that they're having. In seasons when we as teens don't listen to our parents, we sometimes turn to our grandparents and we see something in them that has a little bit more patience and a little bit more desire and a little bit more time. And because of that, that investment comes out. But my grandfather was a Navy dude, bald guy, had a tattoo on his arm that said Walter Lee Baker, which was his name, by the way, spelled correctly.
Yeah.
And, he just taught me simple things. He taught me, you know, what it looked like to be a gentleman, to be a man of character, and then taught me about God in the midst of all that, using very simple, basic techniques that I really think anybody can use to have an influence in someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go after it, Grandpa. You know, like if you're a grandparent out there, you need to be doing that. And if your grandmother out there, you need to be doing it too.
So. Yeah. Were you a communicative kid when you were 13 or 14?
No.
Or did you grunt a lot?
We grunt. We make noises. That's the way it all started.
What are you up
here?
Nothing. I mean, but seriously, I mean, you think of the patience that the grandparents have and the desire they have to connect to their grandkids, which is very powerful. And kids in their awkwardness sometimes just can't come out with their feelings and everything else, but your Grandpa Walter just hung in there with you.
Yeah, it's about investing time, right? Mm-hmm. It's about taking time and just being persistent with it. And unfortunately, we as kids, we have to figure out all these things because we ain't been taught. And so we've got to be taught, and we have to learn how to be transparent. We have to learn how to open up. We got to learn to share our feelings. And this, especially for dudes, all those things are very hard, right? Like those are things that sometimes we learn from other places or over time or through mistakes. But, man, if we have a parent or a grandparent or an older person that can pour into our life, those are the things that we need to be taught.
Vince, I will venture to say that not only do you have to be taught, but there's a chance you have to, learn things and unlearn other things.
Yeah.
Because you start off and you can learn some bad habits quickly, and you have to unlearn those.
Yeah, and we have to be modeled these things as well. Like, you know, it's not just learning and unlearning. It's watching someone do it the right way and having them model. And this is what my grandfather did for me. He modeled all kinds of things. He modeled opening the door for a woman. He modeled appropriate manners at the table. He modeled how to love your wife. He modeled how to care for humanity. He modeled generosity. And then he taught me all those things along the way and said, did you notice how I did that? Watch me swing this club, and then you do it a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. So this grandfather, was he your mother or father's father?
So my mother was actually bought from a prostitute on the street by my grandfather, which is really
one more time.
My mother was bought from a prostitute on the street. My grandparents could not have children, so my grandfather was walking off the naval base one day, saw a woman selling a child that happened to be my mother. So we would say that he is my mother's dad.
Okay.
Non-biological.
Okay, yeah. So he bought a child off the street,
yes,
which happened to be your mother.
Yes. How about that?
That's crazy.
That's nuts, I know.
Yeah.
It's a little psychotic,
could
I know.
You just do that?
In those days, of course, they spent a couple of years in court where they did. There wasn't really like this adoption process. They had to kind of go to court to do this. And eventually, he took in this child but exchanged money for her at that moment.
Okay.
And my mom never knew her biological mom until a couple of years before she died. She found out that she lived around the street from her life.
Serious?
It was very troubling. Like, this is a weird part of our story that's bizarre.
Huh. It's very weird. I mean, might they have run into each other on the sidewalk or in a store?
Numerous times.
And would they have looked at each other and thought, you know, I kind of look like you a little bit.
That's how I found out my mom. When I was 20, I found out that my mom was actually, quote unquote, adopted because one of my friends said to me, do you notice that your mom doesn't look anything like your grandparents? And I was like, I never noticed that before. Like, and so I went to ask her, and she said, yeah, of course. I got to tell you a story. So,
And was your mom the agnostic or the atheist?
She was the agnostic. So she had really been hurt by the church many, many times, unfortunately. And, you know, some people go through that in pain in life. And she spent a lot of time convincing me that I should really stay away from church and stay away from God and stay away from my grandparents.
What was she afraid of?
She was afraid of me going through the same pain that she had been through and concerned that it would hurt or damage my future.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, You know, there's more interesting stuff here. I don't want to get lost in it, but you know, my mom actually never professed a faith to me in Christ, but I did have a friend who picked me up to go to her funeral about 15 years ago from the airport, who was a friend of the past, so very marred past, and picked me up from the airport because he wanted to tell me that he had made a profession of faith. And he picked me up from the car to take me to the funeral or to my mom's house for the funeral. And on the way home, he said, "I need to tell you something. Me and my mom and your mom went to a conference at Oakland Coliseum to hear a guy named Joel Osteen, and your mom stood up to receive Christ just a couple of months before she died." Mm. And I never heard that. And I'm so glad that he took the moment to share that with me. How about that?
Yeah, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. That's great. I want to talk about some of the devotions you've got going. 30 Devos, devotions that build a faithful man, a bolder man, and a stronger man. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, let's queue up a devotion of some kind.
Yeah,
just to get things started.
Of course.
Yeah, it is 15 minutes after the hour. Vince Miller's in studio. His website is beresolute.org. Beresolute.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. It's 16 minutes after the hour. Vince Miller is in my studio, and his website is beresolute.org. He speaks all over the country and helps men be better men. I'm looking at a couple of devotionals he's written, 30 devos that build a faithful man, a bolder man, and a stronger man. How about a little sample, Vince? Maybe give us a little devo here.
Yes.
I'd love that.
So I just opened up the Bible. I'm here at Matthew 8. I'm looking at the faith of the centurion. Love these words here. It says, "The centurion replied, 'Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes.'" I love this moment because I think that this centurion, of course, Jesus says that he's astonished by his faith, but what I love about it is the fact that he really does understand authority, and he understands that there's one with greater authority in the room in his presence right now, and he takes it very seriously. And, you know, I think people that are given authority to steward, right, understand the opportunity for evil and good. Mm-hmm. And he, in this moment, understood the opportunity for his evil and simultaneously understood the opportunity for good. And I love mm-hmm. that. I think that's exactly how we are called to lead as men and women when stewarding power, mm-hmm. right?
Vince, why do you think men struggle so much with authority? And what kind of damaging things do younger men hear that really set themselves up for some kind of collapse?
Oh,
I mean, if you hear the expression,
question.
"You can do whatever you want to do," well, it's not entirely true, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. Well, yeah. our story of a battle with authority begins in Genesis 3, right? So man was given power, authority, dominion over the earth. He was given the ability to define creation, right, with grunts, as mm-hmm. we talked about in the last segment, yeah. right, with grunts and utterances that came across his lungs and vocal cords.
Right.
And then God gave him one stinking moral rule, not two, because he knew he was slow.
Kept it simple.
Yeah, kept it simple for him, right? And said, "Don't eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, that one that is full of knowledge of good and evil." And, of course, what happens? Genesis 3, man and woman are in the garden. Woman plucks the fruit, brings it to him, and man does nothing and says nothing. And I think this is the great sin of man, is to understand authority and then not step into the moment to lead with authority, right? To say, "No, let's not do that." Because in the end, he really selfishly wants to be like God, mm-hmm. right? And that's our problem with authority. It begins right there. And mm-hmm. we have a problem with authority at birth. Is really, it's almost a genetic disorder that we have. All mankind, we prefer selfishness and prefer self over reporting to authority. And this is true for not only in our relationship with God, but with government and law and relationships with our employers, et cetera, et cetera. We have these little demons that come out of us all the time that kind of want to rebel against that.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think men carry a kind of a low level of anger? I mean, I don't, you know, maybe there's people listening right now that say, "Well, I don't have any anger." So Yeah. Good for you. It doesn't.
You know, I think it's interesting that you say that or make that observation. And I think in some cases it's true, but I think it's the problem is that men are not in touch with all of their emotions. They may express anger, but they could be feeling something quite different, mm-hmm. right? The ability to not connect, or maybe sadness or discouragement or disappointment, but it comes out as anger because they don't know how else to express it. Unfortunately, again, it's an ABT issue, an ain't been taught issue, right? And they don't know how to express these emotions because they can't connect with them. In fact, you know, one of the reasons that men go to counselors today, or one of the predominant reasons that men go to counselors today, is because they're not emotionally connecting with their spouse, and their spouse says, "Hey, let's go to a counselor.
Right.
I need some help because I don't feel emotionally connected to you." And then a guy gets into the counseling office and says, "I feel like everything's going okay," because he's getting what he wants.
Right.
You know? And then the woman looks at him and goes, "Yeah, but I'm not getting what I want. I don't feel emotionally connected to him at all." And he's like, "Huh?"
He doesn't even know what she wants.
He's not even conscious of it because, again, he ABT. He ain't been taught. And so I think it manifests as an anger issue, but it's not always an anger issue. I love that Rebecca's nodding right now.
I'm taking notes, man.
There you go. Good, good.
But if we think of the way in which men's egos can be so easily, you know, men don't like feeling snubbed. You know, their egos seem to be, you know, if a car cuts into the spot you were going to take, you're ready to go to war with that guy.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, where'd that come from?
Oh, animal instincts, baby.
It seems like fight or flight with men is so pronounced.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think that us figuring out better ways to respond in situations, calming ourselves down, understanding how to respond. You talked about this with Mark Muska in the last hour and asked him if there were men that, committed grievous sins in the Bible that God still used. Well, you know, who I think of all the time is David, of course.
Yeah,
very
right.
pronounced, ugly sin, was not a great father, committed heinous sexual sin and then tried to hide it and covered it up and then killed somebody in the middle of all that. I mean, man, that's pretty devious if you ask me, yet God still used him. And why did God still use him? And why does it say in the New Testament that he was a man after God's own heart? Well, I think that we have these devious moments where we want to act out, but we have a split second moment to make a decision there. And the decision is, are we going to act in God's heart or act in our own heart?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that most of the time, if you really read the story of David, you're going to discover that most of the time, not every time, but most of the time, that he found a way to really consult with God with his heart about the issues he was facing, whether they were political, whether they were wartime, whether they were relational, whether they were in relationship to family members or to life or decisions or leadership or whatever it was. And you'll see that he deeply connects with God. And you know how you can discover this is just read his journal entries. He's got 70 of them in the Psalms where he discloses his heart and this battle within. And that is what I think men need to do to get in touch with this instinctual animal that we have to just respond to people is to take some time and to process and to think and to reflect and to find better ways to interact with our common man.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need to fight. Sometimes we need to do that. And that's appropriate in a sense of injustice. But sometimes we just need to get in touch with our emotions and not only act out in anger impulsively towards other people when they cut us off in traffic, right? Or like today, you know, the snowplow put the Great Wall of China in my driveway at the end of my driveway when it was coming around the corner. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, you. But then I called my sons and said, could you plow the driveway?
Yes.
They're listening right now, by the way.
Oh, good, good. It's interesting because I look at some of the approaches men take versus women take in Scripture. And I go, well, Naomi, she just was turning out to be bitter. I'm going to change my name. I just want to be bitter.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at someone like Heman in Psalm 88, and he closes that psalm up by saying, I'd rather just be in darkness or be asleep than be with you, God.
Mm-hmm.
Or I just take my life. Look at all the men that just want their life taken. They want their life over.
Mm-hmm.
Kill me, Lord. It's like, where does that come from? What is with that? I don't hear women saying, kill me, do they? Is there women in the Bible that say, kill me?
I don't know. Ask Rebecca.
She'd probably know.
Not that I can think of right now.
I can't think of any either. Yeah, there we go.
Job's wife wasn't a super encouragement, I will say that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
true. The ones that we hear speak from the Bible have very interesting things to say on one side or the other. But, you know, you hear, because there's so many books of the Bible clearly written by men predominantly, you're hearing from a man's heart.
That's true.
Men's issues, right? So, you know, of these 40 different authors, predominantly are all men, you're hearing from their hearts about how they're viewing things and how they're thinking about things. And I don't think that's bad, actually. I think it's good for us to be in touch with the desperation of our soul at times.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why brothers, I think, are so important. For men. Men have got to have other male relationships. You can't just have a relationship with your wife. You need to have a relationship with another dude that can sharpen you and make you better. And this is critical for dudes. And unfortunately, you know, I speak across the country, in churches across the country, at conferences across the country, breakfasts and dinners across the country. And I will tell you that predominantly these men's groups are inhabited by men over the age of 55, unfortunately. And it is very important that younger men hear this message that, look, dudes, if you're younger, don't wait until you're 55 to get other men in your life. You need to start building relationships with men now because they're so critical. Look how it was in my life with my grandfather. If it wasn't for my grandfather and his investment in me, I wouldn't be sitting here across mm-hmm. from you today. And that's the reason we need brothers, is we need men that can point us the way, and we need life wisdom, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I need someone to show me how to be a better parent, how to be a better father, how to fix things in my stinking house that I don't know how to fix, how to be a better husband to my wife, how to be a better leader. We need these men to point us the way, and we need to hear from their failures and successes.
Mm-hmm. So. I think, you know, when you talk about getting a band of brothers, and you also talked about your grandfather, so it seems that a mentorship is an awfully important role as well.
Oh, man.
I mean, from an older person.
Yeah, I would say, you know, if you really look at the people who invested in David's life, we've been talking about David a little bit, so let's just talk about David for a couple more minutes here. But, you know, David had a couple of people that spoke into his life. He had a Nathan, of course, and he had mm-hmm. a Jonathan. Now, what's really interesting for me about Jonathan is, did you know that Jonathan was about 10 years older than him? Most people don't realize that.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, yes, I knew that.
Yeah, okay, so you knew that. You're really smart. So, yeah, you know, Jonathan is about 10 years older than him. And what I find so interesting is they had such an interesting, unique relationship. From the moment that David battled Goliath and defeated him, right at that moment, Jonathan saw something in him that he really liked. But David also saw something in Jonathan that he really liked. And they had a kindred heart that was very special. In fact, it was so special that David comes in from battle, from warring with Goliath, and he takes off his robe and he gives him his sword and he gives him his tunic. He gives him everything and says, and basically they become buds over the next 15 years. And this is really important because the next 15 years of David's life were very difficult.
Okay.
He did not move into the throne instantly. It was a lot of battling with Saul, and it was very painful, and Jonathan helped him the way.
Mm-hmm. Vince Miller's in the studio, and if you want to contribute to this discussion, you've got a question you'd like us to kick around, why don't you send me a text or a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Vince has got a lot of wisdom to offer, so we'll take a short break and be back in 90 seconds. Welcome back to the show, 31 After the Hour. Vince Miller's in my studio, and his website is beresolute.org. Here's a question, Vince. Any tips on integrating the older retired men in our church with the younger men who may have busy careers and families? Great question.
The younger men have busy careers,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
You know, I think that one-on-one mentoring is the wave of the future. I think the younger generation really is desperate for that. They feel safe around that. In fact, I did a survey with a graduate school in the area that took about a year to study our organization, and they came back with the fact that young men, meaning guys between the ages of like 20 to 30, really love the idea of having a single mentor for a lifetime. How about that?
Yeah,
they even
wow.
prefer that over just the casual mentor. They're looking for a guy to walk with them for a long time. So I would encourage older men to say, step away from the whole idea of small groups that you've embraced probably for your entire life, or Bible classes, and step into one-on-one mentorship. Find yourself some tools, which you can get on our website, and mentor those guys, right? You know, and step into a relationship with a single guy for a long period of time.
Here's a granddaughter issue. One is upset with me helping the other more than I helped her. So a little played favorites, it sounds like. But I helped the one who was in college and would have dropped out had I not helped. Any advice on how to resolve that little riff?
Yeah, that is a riff. I think the pain there is, of course, there are some kids that require more attention, right? That is a real issue. And I think sometimes helping the ones that are maybe of a different level of competency, understand that, look, I'm not leaving you behind and I don't want to leave you behind, but I need to have a different relationship with this granddaughter or this daughter or this son or grandson because of their needs at the current moment. And that doesn't mean that I love you less. And I think that's kind of how I would handle that situation with them.
Mm-hmm. Why, Vince, do you think men feel everything is a little bit of a competition, even if they're trying to have a nice conversation with their spouse, and their spouse is trying to bring information into the discussion, and the man feels threatened, and he doesn't know how he's going to come out of this one a winner? And it was never designed to be that. It was never designed to be a contest.
Well,
yet is someone feeling threatened? Do men go, I can't go up against a woman because she just has the command of words, and I don't. I grunt.
Yeah, you know, I think actually, I mean, I think women do have a command of language that is exceptional.
I don't disagree.
I think we see that in Genesis 3. You know, the woman is engaging with a conversation with a serpent, for goodness sakes. And it's probably not the first time she's had that conversation with that serpent, by the way. It's probably had been had many times. But, you know, man is back here being silent, but still losing the battle, basically. And, you know, I think when we get into marriage, you know, it is a tricky thing. It's a tricky thing for women. It's a tricky thing for men. And sometimes we forget that marriage is about oneness, not about winning. If there's a winner and a loser, someone's always losing. But we're on a team together, and it's about oneness. But we forget that sometimes when we're in the middle of a heated argument, we want to compete, right? It's just, it comes out of us. It comes out of women, too. They want to compete, too. It's not just a men thing. And so when we're in the middle of that moment, we got to almost catch ourselves and remember, wait, what's the goal here? The goal of marriage is oneness, not winning, not me defeating you. Because if you lose, then I win, then that's really bad for our marriage. Or if you win and I lose. But here's the nuance for guys, I think. I think guys are a lot more fragile than we admit, okay? This is the issue. And in the middle of an argument, if we even sense or sniff a little bit of disrespect, we feel like we're losing. So if we're losing this argument, we feel disrespected, and we attach that together, and we're usually wrong about that. I've had to learn to overcome that, and I know my wife's listening right now, so I got to be careful about this. But she wins a lot because she's really good at arguing with me. And sometimes I feel like I'm losing, and because of that, I feel like I'm losing authority or respect from her or from the family sometimes. And because of that sense of loss, then I feel like I've lost something. I've lost something with her or with other onlookers or even my children who are listening, right? And I have to learn to not let that affect my identity right there. That's the core of the issue for men. And then I would encourage women to be sensitive around this issue for guys. Just like you have your issues, we have ours. And discover by elevating your guy and kind of loving on him a little bit and giving him a lot of respect. Watch how he feels and his emotional health go up just by giving him a lot of respect. Don't overfeed his ego. We don't need that, right? We don't need that all the time. But just try giving him some respect throughout the day by letting him win a little bit, even though it's not really winning, right? You know, and this is a fragile issue, but men are very delicate around it.
I don't disagree. Do you think that men have a overarching fear of failure? That they're always being evaluated or always being looked at, like, how well did you do that?
Yeah, I do think so.
And maybe it's some of it is just self-inflicted.
Yeah, some of it, I agree with the self-inflicted piece for sure. But, you know, you think about, You know, you think about a guy who goes to work during the day and he's being evaluated by everything at work. Now, women are working too, just like Rebecca said right here.
They're being evaluated.
Right? They're being evaluated too. And then we come home and we may feel like we have lost at work and then we kind of just want to win at home. Right? Like a woman wants to win at home, a man wants to win at home, and we feel like, hey, at least in our domain we can win, but it's the place we lose the most often, right?
Yeah.
Like it's the most difficult environment to lead in, for sure, the home, because everybody knows us and can sniff out a liar and knows our weaknesses and can ping them and swing a hammer at those things and take out a knee once in a while, and it's hard, and we just want to win sometimes, and I think that's why we're fragile around some of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that answers your question, but
I think it does. With your wife, if you need to apologize to her, what does she want to hear? Does she want to just hear, I'm sorry? Does she want to hear, gosh, honey, I was wrong and I am sorry? What does she want to hear? Do you know how to give that satisfactory?
Yeah, in a satisfactory way. You know, I think what my wife wants to hear from me, honey, I know you're listening. So Christina wants to hear.
Christina, just call.
Yeah, just call.
Let's just find out from you directly. 87 Christina, just call. No, I'm serious. Yeah,
okay,
I'm
you wanted to
around.
Call it. Okay.
Yes, I do. Why do I ask you what her answer is when I can just get her on the phone?
She's going to tell you the answer.
Will
so.
She call if I ask her?
She
to?
Might. Yeah.
877-933-2484. We'll get you right on the show.
So here's what I think my wife will say.
Okay.
So you can put me to the test on this. I think she's going to want to hear me say I'm sorry. Sorry, not for what just happened or what led up to the issue. And then she's going to want me to be transparent and authentic about what led up to that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think sometimes when we're having disagreements or arguments, she feels like I'm trying to negotiate the particular issue and make it about something else rather than make it about what led up to the issue itself. And, of course, when we're discussing, I feel like she's a little bit all over the place. We're going to have marriage therapy on here right now, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we are. If she calls.
You know, she's probably not going to call.
Yeah.
But, you know, if she does, I think, she likes to skirt around the issue a little bit. And so we all have our dirty fighting techniques, don't
sure.
we? We all fight dirty in some way. So my issue is, you know, skirting the issue and then exiting the room. You know, it's just, I just don't like to fight. I'm a little bit more passive around those things, but when she'll come at me and I'll just kind of want to run from it, you know, the whole fight or flight thing. So anyway, that's what I think she'll say.
What about if she was, you know, just flat out wrong about something and she really digs in, you know, Richard Nixon was never president. You know, he was just never, ever president. And you go, actually he was. And you go, no, he wasn't.
Well, this is the place where I need a third party to help me on this one because I'm not going to win on that one. I kind of feel like, it's really like I'm really receptive to feedback. I think my wife would say that to you, that she'll say things to me and I'll really hear them. Now, that wasn't always the case.
Mm-hmm.
I want you guys to know that wasn't always the case. In fact, it wasn't until about 7 years in our marriage I learned some very insightful words that changed our relationship. They were these words, you may be right. Those four words changed my marriage. And I said to her one day, and she turned white as a ghost when I said them, you may be right. I didn't say you are right. That's three words. I said, you may be right. And, you know, it caught me emotionally. And it was really powerful, right? It was really powerful for me because it gave me a common sense in a moment to say, you know what, there's part of what she's saying that's right. It's not all right. And there are times that my wife is wrong, for sure. And we'll have debates about that, you know, and I'll continue to push, of course. But I tell you, it's true. I am probably wrong more of the time, like most men say. I don't think that every couple is perfect on this in this situation, but sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes she's wrong.
What do you need from her when you fail?
Oh man, you know, whether it be a failure in our relationship or failure.
It could be in business.
Anywhere.
It could be an endeavor, something that you've got going that you hope to succeed with that you don't.
Okay.
And you show up at home and you're maybe dragging a little bit. And
these are the words I think every man wants to hear. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we want to hear that from our wives. We want to hear it from our dads. I want to hear from our friends, and I think we need that commiserate voice from women that says, look, I care about you, and you've done well. You're a great dad. you're a great husband. My wife just texted me today and said, I love you. You're great. And I can't tell you how much that filled my banks. It just fills me to overflowing. It goes, that one little text will last for 2 weeks for me. Mm-hmm. And don't underestimate, women, if you're listening, don't underestimate the fact that you need to say that to your guy on a regular basis. Seriously, it will fill his banks. Just do it today. Send him a text and say, you're great at this. And you just watch them change. Seriously.
Yeah.
You may get anything you want because of that. Seriously. Yeah. It just does something to the male ego and his strength, his inner mm-hmm. strength. And I think men want to hear that voice.
I think of the opening scene to Saving Private Ryan, where he is the old man in the blue cardigan in the cemetery, looking at the tombstone and saying, was I worth it?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's a lot of mm-hmm. men struggle with. Mm-hmm. Have they been worth it?
Yeah. Yeah. We all want to be valued and want to leave value on this planet mm-hmm. when we leave and want to bring it into heaven with us too.
Yeah.
Do we not?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I've got a couple of Vince's books. I'm more than happy to give to you if you'd like to get into the drawing to win one of them. 30 Devos That Build a Bolder Man and 30 Devos That Build a Faithful Man. If you want to get into the drawing, email me. I don't know why that's so hard to say. Email me at bill@myfaithradio.com and just put 30 in the subject line, just the number 30. That will mean it's the 30 Devos book. And we will do a drawing of the names that come in, and we'll send out a couple of books to winners. So bill@myfaithradio.com, and then just put the number 30 in the subject line and make sure you put your name and your address, so if you win, we'll know where to send it. Be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I have Vince Miller in studio. BeResolute.org. That's his website. BeResolute. BeResolute.org. And we've got a whole bunch of names coming in of people that want to get in that drawing for one of these good devotionals.
And these books are very simple to use. So you got 30 Devos and you got some journaling on the side. You can even use them with another guy to have a conversation. They're very simple, easy to use tools. I think if there's women out there that want to give them away to a guy or to their husband, this would be a great tool to get them started with a new habit.
And it's a great habit. Let's look at some of the process of using this. Begin with the goal. Unpack your thoughts, inform from the Bible, land on action steps, and do one action step for 1 week.
Mm-hmm. Build, B-U-I-L-D.
What kind of crazy talk is that?
Yeah, I know. It's super simple. That's. I even tell them exactly what to do. I just Guys actually like that part, by the way. They go, sometimes we just spend so much time talking theology, right, or looking at a text and thinking about it or reflecting on it, but just tell me what to do. Guys just want to know what to do. They want to get their hands dirty, right?
Yeah. Let's talk about praying boldly. What is? Why aren't we doing that, or are we?
Well, you know, I sometimes think that whether we're a guy or a gal, right, we don't pray bold prayers, meaning let's just go for the jugular on this. Like, let's pray something that's extraordinary, you know, in our life. And I think God wants us to do that. We see that throughout the Bible that people prayed bold prayers. So take Nehemiah facing off with Artaxerxes, right? Mm-hmm. And right before he faces him, he has this moment where he's like nervous, right? And you talked in this last, the last episode with Mark Muska about, you know, evil kings that did good things. Well, Artaxerxes was right on the cusp of that. And Nehemiah had to decide as the cupbearer to the king, if he's going to go in and actually ask Artaxerxes for money to go rebuild the wall. So what does he do right in that moment? Well, he prays a bold prayer is what he does. He actually takes a second in his mind right before he speaks to pray a bold prayer, and then he opens his mouth, and then God provides him with all the resources he could ever imagine. I think we fail to experience bold moments because we're not praying bold prayers, period.
Yeah. Just like it's hard for me to say, email me at... It's hard for you to say, ask Artaxerxes.
Artaxerxes. Or you could just say, I could say, oh, I forget it.
All right. Do you think men are living with joy, or do you think that there's too much stress on their plate?
Oh, man. Sometimes we don't have time to really live with joy and don't understand happiness.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is. It is too bad. I think that we need to spend more time on the joy part of life. You know, me and my wife were talking about this just a couple of days ago about how easy it is to be negative about life, about situations. And it's just like a virus in a home, right?
It is.
And we need to find joy. And it's not just happiness. I'm talking about joy, joy in the Lord. Like, look, I am a free, saved man.
Yes.
Saved by grace.
The joy of your salvation.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. How about that for starters?
Yeah, why not? I should live every day full of joy, regardless of my circumstances. Just because that snowplow put the Great Wall of China in my driveway doesn't mean that I don't. Who cares about that
thing? Why don't you just order Chinese food tonight? Yeah. Just make it easy.
Make it easy.
Yes, just go with the flow.
I know, exactly. Live with some stinking joy. I've been saved by grace, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hell.
Right. Right. So when you try to do some self-examination, and I think that's healthy, but it also can be self-obsessive, where you go, you're always thinking about yourself. You're always wondering how people are viewing you, and that is its own virus, isn't it?
Oh my goodness! I have a couple of guys that I talk to on a regular basis who I would call that we have mentor relationships, and so we talk about how many men, unfortunately, get into a process of self-shaming, right? They get in this process of self-shaming, like, I'm so bad, I'm unworthy, I'm never going to make it, I'll never be good enough, I screwed up again. And there's all this negative self-talk that sometimes men are ashamed to admit. There's probably guys listening right now going, yeah, that's probably me, I do that on a regular basis. And I think it's interesting that we get caught in that cycle, but unfortunately, we really shouldn't do that. That is not biblical, it's not honoring, it's not joyful. Right? It's not really the way we're called to live. And the fact of the matter is, it's actually a manifestation of pride. It's the opposite manifestation of pride, where we're very egocentric and self-driven. The other end of the spectrum is to actually self-depreciate to a point that we're not good enough when we actually are. And the challenge, I think, for men is to live out our identity in Christ and embrace that reality. So not living between these two poles at all, between, selfish desires and self-depreciating. It's actually to discover ourself in Christ, Ephesians 1, and find our identity there and live in it daily. That's our real battle, is not with self. It's the battle for living out this new identity that we have in Christ. And if we got to get our head out of the dirt and off the, off the trophy shelf. And we've got to figure out how to do that by living in Christ.
Yeah. Vince, encourage men, including me, to obey with courage and zeal versus feeling like obedience is, oh, I got to do this.
You know, the great adventure, I think, of being a man is discovering that really, Christ came to show us the way of what it looks like to be a man of character. We underestimate that really Christ wanted to show us the way, and he condescended to us as men by selecting us as a group. Isn't that interesting? And he took what the world saw as nothing and selected them and spent time with them and invested with them and shared with them the word and then said, go do the same. And I think that's really interesting. You know, God does this for women as well, but I think it's interesting with his 12 that he selected these, some people call them misfit guys, and drew them out of their drudgery and called them into something greater. And it was painful to learn how to do that. And it's not easy, and it's a lifelong process. And even if you watch the process with Peter, just watch the process with Peter. He calls him from fishing to call him to be a fisher of men. And then what does Jesus do after he is resurrected from the grave? He appears to Peter again and reinstates him and says, here you are fishing again on the same shore that I found you. go now, be a fisher of men again. I want you back into my fold. And I think that's the voice of the Father that men long to hear. Like, guys, we need to charge courageously into that identity right there, mm-hmm. that Jesus condescends to love us into this courageous calling, and he's looking for a man. He's looking for a man to step off the bench and get into the stinking game of life spiritually.
Vince, what's one thing you've learned from your wife that has forever changed your life?
Well, there's a lot of things, and I know that can be trite to say, but...
That's okay. I know that you say stuff like that to buy you time to think some more.
There we go. Yeah, I want to find that, one thing,
yeah,
right?
I've learned that in radio. Now, that's a really good question.
Yeah. Well, you know, my wife...
Buying time.
Here it is. So my wife has pushed me off the diving board a few times in my life. And there was one time about 6 years ago that we were having dinner on Valentine's Day, and she looked at me and she said, "Honey, I really want you to be happy." She says, "I think you need to go do that men's thing that we've talked about in the past." And I go, "What do you mean?" She says, "I think you just need to turn this men's thing that you're doing with these other guys and turn it into a ministry." And then I said to her on Valentine's Day, "You're crazy." And she said back to me, "Vincent Miller, I am not crazy. I want you to go do this. And by the way, you better not fail."
Did she say that?
Yes, she did. I will attest to it. And she said it to me. And you know what? It was exactly what I needed to hear at exactly the right time. She has challenged me to be a greater man. She has challenged me to push through my own apathy. And she has taught me to be a greater man by doing things that sometimes frighten me. We are both huge risk takers, by the way. Huge risk takers.
It came on my show.
Yeah, exactly. But she takes crazy risks, and I take crazy risks. But I love her for pushing me to do that, because it's made me a more faithful, a more generous, a more loving, a more courageous man. And so, honey, I know you're listening, so thank you for doing that.
Now, your website, beresolute.org. When you say be resolute, obviously you feel that that's so important that you made it your website, the name of your website. Give me the 2-minute elevator pitch on be resolute.
So Resolute exists to disciple and develop men to lead, and we just want to see men get better is what we want to do. So I speak nationally at all kinds of events for men, whether it be conferences or church events or whatever. But also I provide a large library of tools that men can use to grow in their faith, whether it be tools like daily devotionals for them to grow in their faith on their own, whether it be mentoring tools for them to have a discussion with another man, or a litany of small group videos and series that actually are hosted by other major networks out there like Logos and Right Now Media and even our own website, where they can get small group videos for men to use in a small group setting. So, you know, I basically have just built a platform for guys to grow in their faith, regardless of where they're at. So,
and wouldn't you agree that men make men better?
Oh, of course I would agree.
Yeah.
It takes another man to show a guy the way, and we need that. You know, Proverbs 27:17 says,
"As iron sharpens iron, there one you man go. Another." That's... But I always think of iron sharpening iron, and I hear noise, and I see sparks fly, and it's not a gentle little thing, is it?
No, we got to bang up against each other a little bit. And, you know, because, you know, if iron just sits there, you know what it does, right?
It rusts,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But when iron's rubbing up against each other, it's sharpening. And so we got to do that a lot. We really got to rub up against other guys who can make us better, who are a little different than us, who can point us the way, just like my grandfather did for me.
Yeah. Vince Miller's been my guest. BeResolute.org is his website. And a whole bunch of nice listeners have put their name in the drawing to win one of his books. You can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. In the subject line, put the number 30, and that will put you in the drawing to win one of Vince's books. Make sure you put your name and address in, because when we draw out the winners today or tomorrow, we're going to want to know where to send these books. All right, that wraps up our show. Hey, thank you for listening. I'm excited that we could spend this time together. And if you missed any of today's show and you're curious, I had Dr. Mark Muska on in hour one. Ask the Professor. It was very, very interesting. Have a great night, everyone, as God is watching over you as you sleep tonight. Just know that you are loved and cared for. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.